Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to be looking at how healthcare systems are trying to improve care for people with inherited bleeding disorders.
Yeah.
It's a pretty interesting challenge because these disorders are relatively rare and they can affect people's lives in a lot of different ways.
That's right. And we'll be looking at hemophilia A and B,
right.
Von Willebrand disease,
uh-huh.
inherited platelet function disorders,
yeah.
and some of the rarer bleeding disorders too.
And we're seeing this big push these days towards value-based healthcare, you know, which is basically all about getting the best possible outcomes for patients.
Absolutely. It's not just about cost cutting. It's about really understanding and prioritizing what matters most to the patients themselves.
Yeah, I like that. So we're going to take a look at a specific example of value-based healthcare in action in the Netherlands.
Okay.
And this is based on some research by Evelien Shannon Van Horn.
Interesting.
And get this. Her research found that what people with bleeding disorders really care about most goes way beyond just reducing bleeding episodes.
Yeah, her research really digs deep into what matters to patients.
Yeah.
Things like how well they can move and function physically.
Right.
Their emotional well-being, whether they can participate in social activities, and even how these disorders affect their daily lives at work or school.
It's really about the whole picture.
It's about the whole picture.
Okay, so it's not just about stopping the bleeding. It's about helping people live their best lives.
Absolutely.
Despite these disorders.
That makes sense.
And one thing that really jumped out at me from the research was the emphasis on heavy menstrual bleeding.
Oh, wow.
For women with bleeding disorders, this is a huge EGE issue that can really seriously impact their quality of life.
You know, it's interesting because the research found that almost half of the women they surveyed had to miss work or school because of heavy periods.
Wow.
And can you imagine the disruption that causes?
Yeah.
It's not just a physical issue. It's impacting their ability to work, study, and even just socialize. Exactly. That's why it's so important for healthcare providers to go beyond just managing bleeding episodes.
Mm.
They need to address these wider impacts on patients' lives to really deliver value-based care.
So how do we even begin to measure these more holistic outcomes?
Well, that's where a system called PROMISE comes in.
Okay.
The Patient-Reported Outcomes Measurement Information System.
Okay, that sounds pretty technical. Break it down for us.
Think of it like a really efficient survey that uses computer adaptive testing.
Okay.
It asks fewer questions, but they're much more targeted and focused on what's most important to the patient.
So it's less of a burden for people to fill out.
Much less of a burden. Uh-huh. And it gives us really valuable insights into their experiences.
So it's all about getting to the heart of the matter quickly and efficiently.
Exactly. And here's the really cool part.
Right.
PROMISE is a generic system, which means it can be used across a wide range of medical conditions.
Wow.
Even by different healthcare providers.
That's amazing. I can see how that would be really beneficial for people with rare disorders who might see multiple specialists.
Absolutely.
It creates a more streamlined and connected approach to their care.
Exactly. And Van Horn's research actually found that PROMISE is a valid and reliable way to measure what matters most to people with bleeding disorders.
So that's a huge step forward.
Huge step forward.
Okay, so we've got a better understanding of what patients need and a way to measure their progress. But how does this all play out in the real world?
Well, Van Horn also took a deep dive into how hemophilia care is actually delivered in the Netherlands, specifically for young children.
Okay.
And they used a really interesting visual tool to map it all out, a metro map of the care pathway.
A metro map.
Okay.
I'm intrigued. What does that even look like in the context of healthcare?
It's a visual representation of all the steps involved in a patient's journey through the healthcare system.
So it shows all the different stops along the way.
All the different stuff.
From initial diagnoses to ongoing treatment and management.
Exactly.
So it's like a roadmap of their entire healthcare experience.
Precisely. And Van Horn's research looked at 5 different hemophilia treatment centers in the Netherlands.
Okay.
And while they found a lot of similarities, there were some interesting differences too.
Like what? Give us some examples.
Well, for instance, there were differences in how often patients had checkups, who was involved in those consultations.
Okay.
And even in how the medication was delivered.
So even though there are guidelines, it sounds like there's still quite a bit of variation in how care is provided in practice.
That's right. And it raises some important questions about what works best for patients and how we can optimize care across different settings.
And while this particular research focused on young children with hemophilia, I imagine the approach could be applied to other patient groups and healthcare systems as well.
Absolutely. It's all about taking a systematic look at how care is delivered and finding ways to improve it.
This is fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
We've talked about what matters most to patients and how we can measure it. We've even gotten a glimpse into how care is provided in the real world. Where do we go from here? What's next in our deep dive?
Well, let's take a closer look at those specific health outcomes that Van Horn identified as being so important to people with bleeding disorders.
Okay.
Remember, it's not just about the bleeding itself, it's about the impact it has on their lives.
Okay, so let's unpack those specific health outcomes.
Why?
You mentioned that it's not just about the number of bleeding episodes.
Right.
But how those bleeds actually affect someone's life.
That's a key point. Think about it. A bleed that lasts for days and causes intense pain is obviously going to have a much bigger impact than a minor bleed that resolves quickly.
Right. So the research really emphasized things like how long those bleeding episodes last, the severity of the pain, and even how long it takes for someone to get back to their normal activities after a bleed.
Those are all really crucial factors that can really affect a patient's overall well-being.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't just the physical impact that stood out in the research. It also highlighted the emotional toll that these disorders can take.
That makes sense. Living with a bleeding disorder, always wondering when the next episode might hit, that has to create a lot of anxiety.
Absolutely. The research found that patients often experience significant anxiety and fear.
Yeah.
Especially when they're anticipating a bleeding episode or even a routine medical procedure.
It really underscores the need for healthcare providers to consider both the physical and emotional aspects of these disorders, wouldn't you say?
Precisely. And another really fascinating finding was the impact these disorders can have on social participation.
Well, that's something I hadn't really considered before. What did the research reveal about that?
Well, it found that people with bleeding disorders often feel limited in their ability to engage in activities that many of us take for granted.
Like what?
Things like playing sports, going out with friends, or even just participating in everyday social events.
So it's not just about the physical limitations, it's about the social and emotional consequences that can come with those limitations. It can lead to feelings of isolation, frustration, and even a sense of missing out on life's experiences.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to have a really comprehensive understanding of all these different outcomes when developing treatment plans.
Yeah.
It's about helping patients manage not only their physical symptoms, but also the broader impact these disorders have on their lives.
This is all incredibly insightful.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see just how multifaceted these disorders really are. Now, I know that Van Horn's research also delved into how care is delivered for young children with hemophilia.
Right.
Can you tell us more about that part of her work?
Yes. That's where the Metro map we discussed earlier comes into play.
Right.
Remember, it's a visual tool that's used to map out the entire care pathway.
Right.
Showing all the steps involved in a patient's journey through the healthcare system.
Right, like a roadmap of their healthcare experience.
Exactly.
And she used this approach specifically to examine the care provided to young children with hemophilia.
Exactly. She focused on that population because early diagnosis and intervention are so crucial for children with hemophilia.
Right.
And by mapping out the care pathway, she was able to identify potential areas for improvement in how care is delivered.
So it's not just about looking at the outcomes. It's about analyzing the processes involved in delivering that care and finding ways to make them more efficient and effective. It's like trying to identify any bottlenecks or inefficiencies in the system.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And even though there were established guidelines for hemophilia care, Van Horn's research found that there was still quite a bit of variation in how that care was actually delivered in practice.
Oh, really? Can you give us some specific examples of the variations they observed?
Of course. They found differences in seemingly simple things, like how frequently patients were seen for routine checkups, who was involved in those consultations, like nurses, social workers, or psychologists, and even in how the medication was administered.
For example, whether patients had to go to the hospital for infusions or if they could receive treatment at home.
Yeah.
Which would certainly impact a family's schedule and flexibility.
Exactly. And while some of these variations might simply reflect different approaches or preferences among healthcare providers, others could point to potential areas where care could be streamlined or improved. Maybe some centers are doing things that lead to better outcomes or a more positive patient experience.
It really highlights the fact that there's always room for improvement, even in well-established healthcare systems.
Absolutely.
It's about constantly evaluating what we're doing and looking for ways to do it better.
Couldn't agree more. And that's one of the most valuable aspects of research like Van Horn's. It challenges us to question our assumptions,
yeah.
to think critically about how we deliver care, and to strive for continuous improvement.
Now, we've been talking a lot about Van Horn's research on hemophilia care in the Netherlands.
Right.
Do you think her findings and this overall approach are applicable to other countries and healthcare systems?
Absolutely. Remember, the principles of value-based healthcare and patient-centered care are universal.
Mm.
It's about recognizing that patients are the experts in their own experiences and that their voices need to be heard.
It's about shifting the focus from what we as healthcare providers think is important
yeah.
to what truly matters to the people we're caring for.
Exactly. And regardless of where care is being provided, there's always a need to evaluate how we're doing things,
right.
to identify areas for improvement and to personalize care as much as possible
right.
to meet the individual needs of each patient.
So while the specific details might differ from country to country, the underlying goal remains the same.
Yeah.
To create a healthcare system that is responsive to patients' needs, effective in delivering high-quality care, and truly focused on achieving the best possible outcomes for everyone.
That's a great way to sum it up. And research like Van Horn's serves as a powerful reminder that we can always do better
mm-hmm.
and that we have a responsibility to keep pushing for progress in how we deliver healthcare.
Well, this deep dive has certainly been eye-opening for me. I've learned so much about the complexities of inherited bleeding disorders
yeah.
and the many factors that contribute to a person's overall well-being.
It's a topic that definitely deserves more attention,
yeah.
and I'm glad we've had the chance to delve into it today.
Before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, is there a particularly thought-provoking question or insight from Van Horn's research that you'd like to leave our listener with something to really ponder as we move into the final part of our discussion?
Yes, there is. Think about the bigger picture of healthcare innovation. There's so much emphasis these days on developing new treatments and technologies, and for good reason.
Right.
But we can't lose sight of the human element.
Right. We can develop all the cutting-edge treatments in the world, but if we don't think carefully about how to integrate those innovations into the existing healthcare system
mm-hmm.
and how they actually reach the patients who need them, their impact will be limited.
Exactly. And I think Van Horn's research provides a really powerful reminder that innovation isn't just about developing new tools and techniques.
Right.
It's about how we use those innovations to improve the actual delivery of care, to make the system itself more patient-centered and responsive to individual needs.
So it's not just about the what of innovation, it's also about the how.
Exactly.
It's about ensuring that these advancements are implemented in a way that is accessible, equitable, and truly focused on improving the lives of real people.
Precisely. It's a challenge, but it's also incredibly rewarding to think about how we can use innovation to create a healthcare system that truly works for everyone.
Well, I can't wait to explore that idea further.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the final part of our deep dive and see what other insights Van Horn's research has to offer. You know, as we dive into this last part of our exploration, I'm curious about something.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking a lot about those metro maps of the care pathway.
Right.
Did Van Horn's research look at the kind of information that patients and their families were getting at each stage? Because knowledge is power, right?
That's a great point. And yes, absolutely. Van Horn's maps actually included details about the information that was discussed with patients and families at each step along the way.
So it's not just about what procedures are done.
Right.
It's about making sure patients really understand what's happening.
Exactly.
And why it matters.
And what's fascinating is that while all the centers covered the same basic topics,
okay.
things like how to recognize a bleed, when to seek help, the importance of medication adherence, the way they conveyed this information varied quite a bit.
It wasn't just a generic checklist.
Exactly. For example, one center routinely discussed using an SOS strap on car seat belts.
Oh, interesting.
It's a really simple thing, but it could make a real difference in protecting a child with a bleeding disorder in case of an accident.
Wow, I never would have thought of that.
Right.
It's a perfect example of how those seemingly small details can have a big impact.
It really highlights how healthcare providers can go beyond just the standard information
yeah.
and tailor their guidance to the individual needs and circumstances of each patient and family. It's about having those meaningful conversations that right. empower people to really manage their condition effectively.
Okay, so we've seen how there can be variation even in the information that's shared. What about when things don't go according to plan? Did Van Horn's research address any unexpected complications?
Yes, it did. Oh. Specifically, she looked at what happened when a patient developed what's called an inhibitor.
Okay, for those of us who aren't medical experts, can you explain what an inhibitor is and why it's a problem?
Imagine your body is building a wall that blocks the medication from working properly. All right. That's essentially what an inhibitor does. It's an antibody that can reduce the effectiveness of treatment for bleeding disorders like hemophilia. It's a serious complication that requires careful management and potentially different treatment approaches.
So Van Horn mapped out the process for dealing with inhibitors, from diagnosis to exploring alternative treatment strategies.
Yes. She wanted to understand how this complication was handled across the different centers. And interestingly, she found that the treatment options for inhibitors were actually quite consistent across all five centers in her study.
So in that case, there was a clear consensus on the best approach.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is reassuring, right?
Yeah.
It shows that when there's really strong evidence to support a particular treatment strategy, especially when the stakes are high, healthcare systems can come together to provide consistent and effective care.
It gives us hope that as we continue to learn more about these disorders and best practices evolve, we can keep improving outcomes for everyone affected.
Absolutely. Now, as we wrap up our deep dive today, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah.
What are your biggest takeaways from exploring Van Horn's research with me?
Well, for me, it's the realization that value-based healthcare is so much more than just the clinical aspects of a condition. It's about understanding and addressing the real-life impact these disorders have on people's lives, their physical functioning, their emotional well-being, their social connections, even their ability to work or go to school.
I love how you phrase that. It's about seeing the whole person, not just the disease.
Exactly. Van Horn's research really drives home the importance of listening to patients and understanding what matters most to them.
Absolutely.
Not just what we as healthcare providers think is important. It's about shifting our perspective and recognizing that they are the true experts in their own experiences.
That shift in perspective is so crucial. And it's not just about having warm and fuzzy feelings. It's about using that understanding to tailor care, to measure outcomes that are truly meaningful, and to constantly strive to improve the healthcare system itself.
It's about empowering patients, fostering collaboration, and recognizing that healthcare is a journey we take together.
Beautifully said. And, you know, a huge thank you to you for guiding us through this fascinating exploration of Van Horn's work. You've brought so much enthusiasm and insight to our conversation today.
Well, the pleasure was all mine. I always learn so much from these deep dives. And to our listeners, we hope you've enjoyed joining us on this journey as well. Remember, the quest for knowledge never ends, so keep those curious minds engaged. We'll see you on our next deep dive.